Good morning, everyone. I'd like to go ahead and pray, and then we'll get underway this morning. Again, Father, speaking about prayer and then praying to you, just help us. I think this is an area that many of us struggle with, at least to be consistent, to do this without ceasing. And so we would pray that somehow you would come, you would offer your instruction, your encouragement, and that we would respond by changing. And so, again, we commit our time to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
For English, say yes.
Yes.
For security purposes, this phone call will be recorded. To continue, please say yes.
Yes.
Please state your password.
I ain't no hollaback girl.
Please repeat.
I ain't no hollaback girl.
Please repeat.
No, I don't know. Yes, no.
I think you said magically delicious. Was I correct?
No.
Where to?
I'm going to shoot in resident.
I think you said I'm going to shoot the president. Please hold while your call is traced and the proper authorities are notified.
Sometimes you just want to get straight through. That's why there's prayer. Prayer. Live richly.
So I'm so glad that prayer isn't like that. I mean, can you imagine calling God and him putting you on hold or press one for request, two for thanksgiving, three for supplication, four for miscellaneous items? God isn't like that. So I've been doing a series on the spiritual disciplines of the Christian life. And I'm trying to go through a different way of looking at things that we already do pretty commonly. And prayer is definitely one that I would just like you to look at it a little differently this morning than you normally do. So I don't know what you think of when you think of prayer. So I have some images up here that maybe this is what you think of, what we did with just the children. Bow your head, close your eyes. As kind of a common or maybe just gathering hands, a couple of friends coming together. Maybe an image like this, someone at an altar coming down, petitioning before God. Or if we think about other religions and what they do and how they pray, we know that the Muslim faith are at least consistent five times a day. They take their prayer mat out, face towards Mecca, and they pray faithfully, going through a bunch of rituals, again, using maybe a prayer bead of some sort. But what I'd like to do is I'd like to change the image this morning of how you think of prayer. So these next few images is more of what I would like for you and I to think about prayer. What if prayer was like more of an animal coming up into its master's lap and finding comfort, finding solace, finding relief, or of a young small child that's just really held tightly in their father's arms. But I also think prayer, this is a good picture of prayer. I had an issue this morning, and there was traffic, and maybe you complained about various things, and I don't think God minds when we lament to him. And so maybe that's an image of prayer. Or have you ever thought of prayer as just two friends? Over a cup of coffee, just talking to one another, just sharing life with one another. Or maybe this image, the idea of a child in its father's lap receiving comfort. What about this image? Why couldn't that be prayer? How many of us, if we thought of prayer like that, would be at the 5 o'clock prayer meeting? If somehow we saw it as solace, as this comfort, as chillaxin in the presence of God, instead of this duty, this thing we got to do where we fall asleep half the time? Or again, a child, that's a picture of me without my shirt on, but no, I'm just kidding. Here is an image that really resonates with me. This is my son, my special needs son, on his first birthday. And as you may have heard the story of Lucas, he doesn't see very well, he doesn't hear very well, he doesn't do a lot of things very well. But he does recognize my voice, and he actually can recognize my presence. And during this period of time, this is again when he turned 1 year old, he's seven now, he would hear my voice, and he would find that image of me, and he would lock his eyes on it. And I thought, wow, what a picture of prayer. He can't see very well, he can't hear very well, but he hears his father's voice. And once he does, he locks onto that image of his father. He knows his father's voice. And so again, this morning, prayer without ceasing is kind of the theme verse, but I want to teach you, and there are lots of ways to pray. There's no wrong or right way of praying, but I do get a little frustrated when I hear this phrase. People say, I don't know why prayer is so hard. It's just talking to God. And the reason that that frustrates me is because when the disciples came to Jesus and they said, Jesus, teach us to pray, what did he say? He didn't say prayer is just some simple thing. It's just talking to God. He said, pray this way. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy. So the idea that the disciples were confused and said, Lord, teach us like John the Baptist. Teach us how to pray. The idea that you and I need to learn to pray is an image and a thought that we need to have. So what I'm not talking about, and by the way, when I talk about the type of prayer that I'm talking about, you would practice this on a regular basis, but there are some things that I'm not talking about. I'm not talking about corporate prayer. So, and there's nothing wrong with corporate prayer. I'm not saying there is, but what I'm going to be talking about you doing with God is not corporate prayer, and it's not intercessory prayer. It's not you getting before God with your list of requests. So what it is, the image that I would like you to think of is an umbilical cord. That's what that is. And I don't have one here this morning because it's kind of nasty. But if you think about the purpose of an umbilical cord, what does it do to the child? It feeds, it nurtures them, right? And when a child is born, they give the dad the scissors, like this big, momentous, special moment in life, and he gets to cut this thing. Whatever. And so he cuts the umbilical cord, and you maybe keep this and give this back to the child at some points in his life. But with God, you never cut the umbilical cord. You never get into a position where you can ever say to God, you know what? Lord, I got it. I don't need you. I'm going to make it on my own. So let's cut our relationship. Let's cut ties. I can do things without you. So an umbilical cord, I think, is a good image. The Bible talks about Adam and Eve communed with the Father in the cool of a day. Again, contrasting, it's asking God for something. That's not what I'm talking about. And I'm not talking about task-less praying. This idea that you have these 714 items and you get through this list. Now, again, there's nothing wrong with praying through a list. There's nothing wrong with intercessory prayer. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I want you to look at prayer a different way this morning, practicing it a little bit differently than you typically would. So here's what I would say is a false-centered idea of prayer, and I'd like to shift your mindset a little bit. How do your prayers start now? When you pray to God, do you start by saying, Lord, give me something? Give me this day my daily bread before you say, Our Father who art in heaven. Do you start with give me? So I'm going to call this false-centered. I think we need to change the order. Or, Lord, will you change my circumstances? I don't want cancer. And that becomes the first or second thing that you ask for. And then after you kind of go through, give me, Lord, bless my life, make it better. Then maybe you come to the point where you say, thank you, Lord, you're useful to me. I can use you in my life to make my life a little bit better. Keep it up. Keep doing that good job. And then here's my tip for your good service. I'll attend church. I'll even tithe a little bit if you keep it up. Keep making my life work out well. Keep doing things I want you to do. And I might even join that committee Wei talked about. Even, I don't know where this guy gets his motivation from. It's going to cost you gas. You're going to get complaints. Come join our committee. I want to work on that pitch a little bit. But the bottom line is that's kind of how we think of God. We come to the point and we're like, look, I'll do these things for you if you just continue to make my life work out well. And then when God doesn't make our life work out well, what then? Don't we stop praying? Don't we stop attending when someone in church lets you down? And then tell me what to do. So I would say that's the false-centered Wei of praying. There's a book called The Papa Prayer. It's by Larry Crabb, and it kind of is the premise by which I want to give you a metaphor for prayer. But here's what he said. This is so subtle. Listen carefully. A friend recently told me that his new car arrived at the dealer 2 weeks ahead of schedule. He said, I hadn't traded in my old car in order to make more money on a private sale. It sold the same day the dealer called to tell me the new one arrived early. I got my asking price. Isn't that something? God is so good. I was really thankful. When convenient things happen in our life, we can sometimes detect the attitude that that's how things are supposed to go. God's doing his job. He's keeping his promise. I got into a car accident not too long ago in which we rolled our car. It was a pretty severe accident. And I remember people saying things like, well, praise God. Praise God that everybody in the car is okay. And I get where they're coming from, and I appreciate that. But would we be saying praise God if I lost my son? Would we be saying praise God if everything didn't work out well? Do you see the subtle mind shift? The shift is praise God for good things happening in my life, but it really doesn't make him Lord of our life. It doesn't make him commander of our life. It doesn't put him at the forefront. We look at God as a vending machine to give us good things. That's the shift that I'd like you to make this morning. I'd like you to say, you know what? Thy will be done. I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to relate to you, not out of an attitude of you giving something to me, but because I want to relate to you as my father. So that's the shift that I want to put forth. So here's how I would say would be the true centered prayer. Again, no right or wrong Wei necessarily. So the first thing that you would do is what I'm going to call this morning relational prayer. That's what I'm going to encourage you to do this next week. Relational prayer is simply, I remember one time in Bible college, there was this kid in the back row. He was a rebel. Always seemed to come with his hat on backwards. Always seemed to put his feet up on the desk. And one day, he was asked to close our class in prayer. And this is how he prayed. Not kidding. Yo, God, what's up? Yo, listen, God, get jiggy with it. And amen. I was like, get jiggy with it? Yo, God. Now, for me, that was a sign of disrespect. But I thought after a while, I wonder if he knows God better than me. Maybe he has a relationship with God where he can say, yo, what's up, God? How you doing? Maybe he's got something. So the idea is that you and I would draw near to God. Now, again, I don't say get jiggy with it, and I don't say yo, God, but it's just you talking to God. It's just you saying, good morning, Lord. Happy Father's Day when it's Father's Day. Bless you this morning, Lord. So, again, draw near to him would be the first thing. And then offer your life to him as a sacrifice. Say to him, Lord, your will be done. I want to hear to serve you. My life is dedicated to you. And no matter what's going to happen, no matter what you say to me, no matter what the outcome is, whether I have cancer, whether you heal it, whether you don't, I know that you have good for me, Lord, and so I'm going to give you thanks in all things. And then you pray, Lord, your kingdom come, your agenda be done, and I want to be involved in that. I want to be about your business and your kingdom. And then at the end, we finally say, God, and there might be a few things that I need or I think I need, and let me just put those before you. My dad is going through chemo. Lord, if you could maybe assist him with that and help that recovery go well. And Lord, I need a job. Maybe you could provide one of those for me. But again, the idea, because here's the bottom line. When we go to God and ask for him for things first, before we relate to him, when we're disappointed with God and he doesn't answer the way we want, we stop relating to God. If we reverse that order and start by relating to God first, then our prayers are more centered on doing his business and having his kingdom come. All right, so let me jump to the end here a little bit with this acronym, PAPA. All right. Obviously, we're told to learn to pray in Luke 11:1. And so the idea of having, whether it's some metaphor, some acronym, I realize this only works in English, but the acronym that I'm going to give you this morning is PAPA, P-A-P-A. And I want to kind of go through those points with you, and I would like to encourage you to pray through the PAPA prayer. All right, so here it is. There are 4 points to it, and I'm going to go through each of them with you. The first one is present yourself to God. That's the first P. The second is A, attend to your thinking about God. The third would be purge yourself of anything that blocks your relationship with God. And finally, the last one would approach God as the first thing in your life. And so what I want to do is I want to explain each of these real quick. So going through each of them. The first one, well, what do I mean by present yourself to God? Before you make any requests to God, before you ask him for anything, ask yourself, how are you thinking about him? Is he close? Is he far? Is he near? Is he holy? Is he loving? And what emphasis are you making? Again, we relate to God in a variety of ways. He's called our servant. He's called our father. He's called our master. What you're doing in this first step is you're saying, how do I see you right now? How am I feeling about you right now? How am I thinking? So you kind of present yourself to God and you say, Lord, my prayer life has not been good. I see you as distant. I see you as uninvolved. I see you as not caring what's happening in my life right now. You're just being real and honest and raw. It could be just the opposite. You could be, God, I really sense your presence in my life now. I really sense you working. I really see what you're doing in our church, in our business, in our corporation, whatever it is. So that's the first step. Present yourself to God in the way that you're thinking about him. Then the second one would be attend about his presence. And more, this is getting into the attributes. Do you see God as a hoarder, as someone who's trying to hold back from you? Or do you see God as a rewarder? Do you think he wants to give you good things? Do you think he's got good for your life? If you're going through a particular circumstance, maybe you lost your job, maybe you have cancer, maybe an in-law is coming to stay with you for a week, and you're like, Lord, this is not a good thing. I don't like this. And so again, you're presenting yourself to him, and you're attending to how you're thinking about him and how you're relating to him. So all of that, it's just purely relational. It's just talking to him. It's how you're thinking about him. It would be the equivalent of you going on a date with your spouse or your loved one and you saying, you know, I just really feel close to you right now. I really feel like our marriage is in a good place. I really love you. I really just appreciate the things that you're doing in our home. I appreciate the spiritual leader that you are, or I appreciate the provider. It's the same thing. You're just thinking about, or it could be the opposite. Wow, our marriage is really rocky right now. I really feel like you're far from me. I don't really feel like you're getting it. I feel like your walk with, I mean, it's whatever it is, you're just going to God with a level of honesty. John Piper has this quote, which I think is beautiful to think about the third letter, which is purge. No one stands at the Grand Canyon and goes, boy, I sure am great. Right, when you go to the edge of the Grand Canyon and you look out at the vast expanse of what God has done, you're like, wow, God, you're amazing. So that's the point of this third one. What are the areas in your life that are hindering you from walking in obedience to God? What are the sins in your life? What are the habitual things that you're doing? Maybe, again, it's spending too much time on the internet. Nowhere in the Bible does it say spending time on the internet is a sin, but you know it's really affecting your life. You have to like everything. And you go around everybody's face, like, I like that, I like that, I like that, I like that, I like that. And then you say, well, I just don't have time for God. In this sense, it would be you go, and you know what, God, I think Facebook's more important than you are. You would actually say what's true in your life, and then you would say, in this third step, God, I know that's not the way it should be. I know that you should be the most important thing, and I want to like you more than I like Facebook. I want to be with you. I want to value prayer. I want you to change my heart. And so you would purge yourself. Going down to this last bullet, purging, this is Crab talking, as I see it, means more than just telling God what I'm seeing is going on in me that might be dulling my experience. It means that I'm willing to repent and get rid of it. It means that I'm willing to say, you know, I'm not walking in a way that pleases you. I kind of shared this last one a little bit last week. And then it says, so the last P, present how you're thinking, attend to your thinking about God, purge anything in your life that's hindering your relationship. And then the last one, approach God as the first thing in your life. I am very against prioritizing. I hear a lot of people say something like this. Here's what I mean. Well, God should be first, your family should be second, your job should be third, and you should be last. The problem is the Bible says that one thing should be first and everything else should be second. Here's what the Bible says, Matthew 6, 33, I think it is. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And then what does it say, seek second? It doesn't say seek anything second. It says it right. Everything else will be added unto you. Because let me just ask you this. When you have a second priority, what does it try to become? The first priority. When you have a third priority, doesn't it try to become the second priority? It always crowds you in. That's why Jesus said this, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be added unto you. Your job will take care of itself. Your family will take care of itself. Your finances will take care of itself. Your health will take care of itself. If you seek first the kingdom of God. And so that's what I'm talking about in this last. Approach God as the real first thing of your life. That he's the ultimate priority. And then anything that is the second thing, repent of that. I know there are a lot of mothers who have said to me, you know what? My kids are more important to me than God. They're honest with that. They'll admit that. They'll say, it's a struggle I have. But if God said to my children, I want you to go to Syria and be a missionary, I would say, no, you're not going to Syria to be a missionary. You can be a missionary right here. Because their child is more important than God's priorities. And of course, Syria would be a dangerous place to go. Or maybe it's China that they would want. And you want them around you. right now. The job that is looking like it's working out in my life, and I'll just be honest with you, right now I'm not very excited about it, but it looks like my family's going to be moving to Australia. That's not a little bit far away. Australia is a long ways away, and my wife is not happy about it at all. She will say that. She's just not happy about it. All of our family is here, and I don't know if you've looked up a ticket, but it costs $2,500 for one ticket for one family member to come visit us or us to send a family member back. So she's thinking to herself, I'm probably not going to see my family 3 or 4 times a year. I don't like this, God. I don't like that you're sending us to Australia. That's honest. And as she confesses that, she throws in the great but statement. But God, if that's really where you want us to go, if that's really where you want to send us, then make it happen. But I can tell you, my parents and her parents are like, that's not God's will for your life. No way does God want you to go to Australia. That's just, how will I ever see the grandkids if you go to Australia? I mean, it's that kind of a mindset. So again, what I would just encourage you to do, here's the bottom line of what I want to say this morning. Shift your mindset from asking God for things to just being with God and relating to Him. The Bible says, which is where this metaphor comes from, that you and I are called the spirit of adoption, in which we can cry out, Abba, Father. Now, just real quick, and then I'll close. This name, Abba, A-B-B-A, it's Aramaic. It's the same in Hebrew. The Hebrew word for father or dad is Av, A-B. If you put the redundant ending on it, A-B-B-A, Abba, what the translation would be in the English, you would be moving from saying something like father, which would be just Av, Avraham, father of nations. Ava, or Abba, is daddy. What it means is that God is a near, a close, a present, affectionate dad, papa. So I don't know, again, what name you have for your dad, if you call him dad, or you call him father, or you call him papa. But the term Abba, it is an affectionate term for God. It means that we're in a close relationship. It means He's close to us. And that's how I would like you to think of communion formation prayer. That you would begin this week to just talk to God in a way that you would relate to Him as a close child relates to their father. Let me close us in prayer and commit this to the Lord. Prayer is your idea, Lord. It's not something that we would come up with, and I would guess that everybody in here struggles. In many ways, it feels like sometimes we're talking to someone we can't see. It's much easier for us, Lord, to talk to someone we can see. So teach us to pray. And not just teach us to pray out of the discipline of it, but let it move from discipline to delight, where we want to come to you, we want to relate to you, where we're spending more time talking to you about who you are, about how lovely you are, about what we think of you, than we are for asking you for things. Where we move away from just, God, thank you for this food, thank you in Jesus' name, amen, to actually communing with you at dinner time. To sitting down and inviting you to pull up a chair and talk about you, talk with you, worship you, appreciate the beauty of who you are. Would you teach us to do that? In Jesus' name, amen.